This is a last question. It says, since homosexuality is so bad, why do I, as a gay man, have to tone down my desires when I see men every day checking out women who don't belong to them? Mm-hmm. How is that right? Seems like a double standard.
I think
it's simple to just say, biblically, both are wrong.
Because I be worried about your soul. Why you still be down and you got a soul? Like you need to see to believe these things, but you believe things that you've never seen. Like feelings and hopes and dreams, the future emotions and gravity. And sadly, everything you're rejecting makes this whole life a tragedy. And I got something to say, I got something to say, I got something to say to the world. And I got plays to make, I got steps to take, I got kicks to make, I got shoes to
tie. Welcome to the Milk and Meat Podcast. This is part two. If you have not seen part one, I encourage you should go back and rewatch it. We had some good conversation and it was fun. And come join us on this one.
So that's the experience we're having. So I don't know if that's how they connected the idea with the centurion, because it says Roman soldiers that crucified Jesus. It never specifically said they were centurions. I'm sure they could have been, but it doesn't say that they were.
I mean, and the Bible does mention another centurion later on in a very brief text where, you know, the centurion says this truly was the Son of God. There was an acknowledgement there. And one can even argue there was conviction in that centurion's heart at that moment, witnessing Christ's crucifixion.
Yeah.
You know, I think you had mentioned prior to the podcast episode that there was a big practice of that, of homosexuality
in
the
Roman
time.
Culture.
Right.
Yeah, it was popular.
But in this context, again, and in this story, it does not come up at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the fact that we touch on those several scriptures, written to Timothy, written by Titus, written in Corinth, all of those areas were monopolized by Roman authority. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when those letters are being written to those areas, talking about you were once homosexuals, put away this and that, it's speaking to people that are surrounded by Romans and even people that are Romans in the church. So they were familiar with these practices and they were the ones told to separate from them. So it's not like it's being secretly spoken. The Bible is not a secret. Mm-hmm. This is a public book. It's been made public for a long time.
Yeah. And I mean, and that being said, I think the next question that I think follows well is I know the Bible doesn't really go into detail about homosexuality, but why do Christians insist on talking about it so much? And it's wrong when there are bigger things that are talked about through the Old and New Testament.
So, why do Christians
because
make
today,
such a big deal about
as in
it?
Now, mm-hmm. I think because they are making a big deal about it. Mm-hmm. And as a parent, as a mom, I gotta put that shield and wall to protect my kids, because it's all over social media. It's now being so normalized in Hollywood. You know, kids are gonna be looking up to artists, and they're gonna see, it's okay. But in the past, growing up, it has to do with social media. We didn't have access to it. It wasn't always in the public eye. It was in secret. So a lot of people will say it wasn't an issue. Well, it was. It was just in secret because it wasn't common. It was something to be embarrassed about. But now we live in a time where it's not bad to be who you are. It's not bad to show how you feel. It's not bad to express your sexuality. So come and express it. Let us enjoy you, love you. And that's why it's a big deal now for us, because you're setting an example that we don't want in our home for our kids, for the future generation. So that is my answer.
Okay.
And I think like what you talked on, like it's popping up everywhere, like even in kids' TV shows. You guys were talking earlier, like in Cocomelon, you know, it shows same-sex parents. And I think, you know, we got to shield ourselves, shield the kids, but also in the sense that, you know, there are some Christians out there who do make it a big deal, who give the church, you know, a bad name, who are out there saying you're going to hell and fire and brimstone. You know, and where that question comes in, like, why are you making such a big deal than other sins? you should not be like making it this grand, like it's the ultimate sin. You know, you'd have this thought, you practice automatic go to hell. Like, no, that's nowhere in the Bible. It's a sin just as bad as my white lie sin, just as bad as me stealing a pack of gum. And sin is sin. And so the right response for the Christian who's living according to the Bible, living according, following Christ, is, you know, you have those conversations and you do acknowledge sin when it's there. You call people out, but in love. And we see in like Romans 13, 8 through 10, it says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." And I think that's the Christian's response. And when I had a Bible study with my youth about what the Bible has to say about homosexuality, I told them, like, this is our response. When you have someone who says they're coming out, they're gay, when they're living that life, you love them, but you pray and ask God for that moment to talk to them in love and to say, you know, I love you as a human, but this is not right according to the Bible. And it kind of goes back to what we said before, you know, for someone to understand, they have to first acknowledge the Bible as God's word, the truth, and be willing to hear that and to accept that. And so when you are willing to hear that and accept that, then you can go and you can do what we said in 1 Corinthians 6:17 through 20, flee from sexual immorality. You could flee from that sin. You could work through and progress and deny your flesh, deny that, and continue to walk in Him. But, you know, like, does this mean should we highlight this sin more than others? No. Like, if someone walks in who's a homosexual, and we see it often, like, oh, you know, they're homosexual, they walk in, you know, they look like this, and like, no, like, they shouldn't have a spotlight on it, because we should. It's like, why are you pointing out that speck in someone's outside when you got a huge speck in your own eye? We should be identifying all the sins, even in some churches when their pastor is sinning too. And so we have to, it's not just this sin is worse, that we have to identify and deal with all sin, as the Bible says.
Yeah. And my only thing for the questions, like, why are Christians making a big deal? And I agree with you 100% that we should address all sins. And I agree that there's many Christians out there that give the church a bad name because of how they handle this subject. But one thing you said earlier too was the having conversations, like, you know, let's get to the point where we can actually talk about it. Like I said in the beginning of the podcast, it is very rare to have somebody so willingly wanting to have this conversation. But pertaining to the question too, it really is out there.
Yeah.
There's a whole month dedicated to the LGBTQ community, and they have these large parades. Mm-hmm. You know, it really is out there in your face. It really is out there. I'll leave it at that. You know, we're all on social media. I've seen videos. They bring little children out there, and you have people who are half naked in these parades and exposing children. You know,
they're more than half naked.
Yeah, and.
They're fully naked.
You gotta, you know, that's gotta be addressed. You know what I mean? It's not like, you know, we're gonna be taking our children out there. Obviously, we don't support it, but just the fact that it's out there on social media, mm-hmm. and, you know, warning to the parents, Christian parents, and, you know, really monitor what your child's doing on their phone, because these things just pop up on your feed. Even if you're not a part of this community, you will see something, or you know somebody who is, and they'll post something, share something.
And that's equally the same for anything.
Oh, yeah, like, absolutely.
You know, from the dancing that kids are doing, like, going back to not just pinpointing out this one sin, but, like, you know, there's so many things out there, yeah. And even for as parents, like the need to watch yeah. out for that, watch out yeah. for sin.
Pornography is rampant. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, warning to parents, monitor your kids, be involved in your kids' activities. But yeah, just again, coming back to that question, that's probably why it seems that the issue of homosexuality is always just being addressed.
Yeah. I will say this. I've noticed this on social media. When you watch a clip of a Christian or a preacher out there preaching, giving the word, see who's posting it and what they represent, mm-hmm. because some of it could be fake.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like Christians, we should be very passionate when it comes to preaching the word. And when you have a brave person, whether it's a brother, a sister out there risking their lives to preach the gospel, and people are going to hear what they want to hear. And whoever makes a comment, oh, he's dissing the LGBT, oh, he's pro-choice or, you know, pro-life, or he's being contradicting, hypocrite. Like, you have to do your research, just like you do your research for the Bible. And I've noticed that when you, videos you see, everybody could be passionate about something. People get made fun of all the time. Remember that one time, that little girl that was passionate about the animals? Mm-hmm. Do you remember that little Sweden girl who mm-hmm. cried on camera, and she made the news, the national news, because she was like, what are we doing as people?
Climate change, right?
Yeah. No. People are passionate about global warming. People are passionate about now here, was it pro-choice, homosexuality, transgender? And there's always going to be a good side and a bad side, someone who's with or against. Mm-hmm. So same thing with Christianity. You're gonna hear the message, and whatever message grabs your attention, it's either gonna sting you, or it's gonna break you, commit you. Like something's wrong. Like, this person is speaking to me.
And I think on that note, like, you brought up a good point that, you know, there are a lot of pastors out there on Instagram, TikTok, whatever, who are mega pastors or famous or whatnot, but they're not preaching the truth gospel. And then so sometimes, like, we all know how the internet, the social media world blows things up, something that's very risky or very conversation starter, right? And so, you know, they don't ever, the most popular feeds are never the ones where a really good sermon where it's like convicting, or a really good sermon where people are just having freedom and they're turning to God. It's always the one where someone's doing something crazy and yeah. like, or making a bold statement that's against everybody. And some of those pastors that you look at, they're not actual Bible preaching pastors. And yes. so there's, and even like if for you, if you're maybe a homosexual or someone who's non-Christian, you see those bad. And so even at work, we play this video, and it's like this memory lane, and ask, what do you remember in this video? And there's clips like good things, like the baby being born, and then bad things like October 1st or 9/11. And like, what do you remember? And everyone always remembers the bad, and it's so easy. And so they were taking and applying this in the hospital. Like, people remember the bad things. So their memory tape starts playing. And the same thing, you know, for in the Christian, and when people look at Christians, they're going to remember when we do the bad thing, and they're gonna take it and they're gonna blow it up and they're gonna share. And mm-hmm. like, did you see this Christian? Did you like, oh, you're a Christian? Like Leslie, like, oh, well, I had this bad experience. Or, you know, I've had a coworker, and she said she went to one church and they were like this, and they were her grandfather worked for the church, and they were talking about him behind the back, and they were just, and he served the Lord there. He served faithfully. And so her memory tape, she's always replaying the church, they turned on someone who's being faithful. And so we have to, even as Christians, like for us, we have to show that love. We have to be that model, but also warn people when they watch things, they're not always the best things.
I think that also answers the second part of the question, where, you know, he's saying there are more important things in the new and the old, and I agree. I think in, I don't know how many episodes we're in the podcast. We're at what, like 70 something maybe?
I think we're 87.
Oh, we're 87. So in 87 episodes, I think this is the second time, if I'm not mistaken, that we're covering this subject. On homosexuality.
Yeah, and the first time was kind of brief because it wasn't the main topic.
Yeah, and what I'm trying to say is that false doctrine is something that we try to cover a lot in this podcast, because that is really a bigger issue. Progressive Christianity falls under false doctrine because they're taking the Bible and spinning it and twisting it and taking it out of context to fit their thought. Same thing like when we cover the Jehovah's Witness. They take the Bible, twist it, take it out of context to fit their doctrine.
Yeah.
You know, there's absolutely a bigger fish to fry, you know. But that doesn't mean we're not going to try to cover every subject. And I think any good Christian should be able to, or at least make the attempt to try to cover as big of a variety of subjects as they can, you know, especially pertaining to false doctrine, because I think I can make the argument that the Bible talks about false doctrine a lot throughout the New Testament.
Yeah.
You know, and then the Old Testament, it makes mentions of false prophets. Yeah, so it's a big deal to talk about that. Yeah.
And I think when you talk about, like, the second part, there's bigger issues. It's like the church is addressing these big issues, like things like those who are orphans, who are don't have parents. Like, you know, you look at the church is the one, and you had mentioned this before, throughout history, the church has always been there to rescue the orphaned. I have a friend who they just adopted a baby, and it's such a beautiful story. And I have a friend who was in an orphanage in India, and because of this, she came to know Christ. And like, we're doing things like we're feeding the homeless. We're doing, like, I know my church, we have a month where we just go and outreach to our community, where women who are in need at a church in Reno, they have a whole safe house for these women. And so we're doing things, we're doing great things and making a difference, not only in our city and our nation. I've been on mission trips to Honduras and building houses and having scholarships. I have a sponsor, a kid, so they could go to school and that they don't have to fall into the normal routine. But no one highlights those things. They highlight the one thing that we bring up. But the church is doing a lot of good things out in the world.
Yeah. I'd say that it seems like homosexuality is often attacked or spoken against. But like we've already all said, it's because it's also being raised as a big banner. So when there's a big target, you're going to see some hits coming towards it. And I think when people praise or lift up or idolize something, if there's someone against it, it's going to be very easy to notice that opinion. So Christians that stand on the Bible understand that the Bible identifies homosexuality and any sexual practice outside of a male and biological female in a marital union. Any sexual practice outside of those limiting factors is sin. So when something is broadcasted and it is against the Bible, Christians need to and must and want to and desire to speak against that. However, they're speaking against everything else as well. So abortion, fornication, idolatry, materialism.
Human trafficking.
Irreligion, atheism, idolatry. Like all of those things, Christians speak against those. So I'd say that if someone is an adulterer, heterosexual adulterer, meaning they sleep with people outside of the marriage or they violate their marriage, anytime they might hear a sermon that speaks against adultery, they might have a similar idea, saying, why are you guys always talking about that? It's like, we're consensually doing this. It's like, and you're going to hear the opposing opinion.
Absolutely.
So if someone is using drugs, I know there's people that, like, I talk to them because I used to be a drug addict. So I talk to my friends who are still using. And I tell them, like, hey, it's wrong. And they're like, why are you always like, why does everyone always say, like, what's, and their big issue is always weed. Like, oh yeah, it's legal now, it's this and that, or what I do with my body. So for them, they hear the argument against their particular lifestyle more than any other argument. They don't ever talk to me about homosexuality. For them, the main thing is they want to be able to use drugs. So for the women that want to have abortions, and for them, it's like, don't talk to me about my body. They're not talking about homosexuality. They're talking about abortion.
Yeah.
So I feel like I think it's common to find that when something tends to you, it might seem like it's always there.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess in two ways, that could be a real thing, like you're experiencing it, but also there might be that conviction, like there's something going on and the world's against you. So you're always feeling kind of like it's always that issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I used to steal and I used to move drugs and I used to always have drugs in my pockets, I'm not kidding. Like everywhere I went, I had like little cocaine in my pocket. I had some mescal in my pocket. There was never a peaceful moment in my life. Like I would always walk around, even if I was high, sober, I was always thinking that a cop's going to pull by. Like I was always looking for an exit. I was very paranoid.
Mm.
And what I'm saying is, even if I was totally safe, my walk to Starbucks or 7-Eleven at 10 o'clock at night with some drugs in my pocket was never a peaceful walk. Like I literally was looking for a way to run in case some lights popped up. I was always ready to run. Mm-hmm. So I feel like in some ways, when we have something going on in our hearts, we might always feel something kind of opposing it. And to some extent, God does give us conviction. He gives us, even without the Holy Spirit, even without a saved Christian being in this situation, we're talking about just human beings have a conscience and a conviction that to some extent is not completely devoid of God's truth. Mm-hmm. So we feel like we get nervous when we lie. We feel like we should not when we feel angry at someone. Like these are natural feelings that are not instituted by human choice. It is literally God doing this. Like he put that in our hearts. And we can violate them and we can sear our conscience all we want, but we're still there to some extent able to be impacted by the truth that God has put in every human being.
Yeah.
So to some extent, I'd say some people are even struggling with sexuality where they're struggling in here. And when it comes and gets blasted on a speaker, now it hurts even more. So it's not that that's happening more than ever. It's just that it's meeting their own convictions. So.
To what Leslie said at the beginning of the question, it's you hear a message being spoken.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to react? Are you going to get angry or are you going to get broken?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just one reference here. Titus chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. This is speaking of how people should obey. And this is, again, speaking to a group of Christians, saying, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
That's so. Amen.
We were enslaved to all sorts of feelings, ideas, beliefs, and hobbies and habits, but then we were changed when God poured forth his love through the work of Christ and through that Spirit working in our hearts. So until people come to a saving faith, they're continuing to remain enslaved in that position. God doesn't save good people, he saves bad people. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 8 says, for while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good person, for a good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the idea is not that you need to be better. The idea is not that your homosexuality is what you need to fix and then you're good. It's like, no, you need to literally put your faith in Christ. You need to realize that you are dead in your sins and trespasses, and this is one expression of that sinfulness. There's other things. You can't just say, hey, every gay person needs to turn straight and then they're good. It's like that Your straightness does not get you into heaven. Mm-hmm. You are still a sinner, dead in your sins and trespasses. You need to put your faith in Christ. You need Christ to regenerate you. So you need to hear about Christ. You need to hear about the law. You need to hear about the grace. You need to hear about the only way to get saved. Mm-hmm. And when you believe, you will denounce your unbiblical sexual practices. Amen. It's not about come to church and start being straight. Yeah. No, mm-hmm. you need to come to Christ.
Mm-hmm. Hearing you say that remind me of that powerful testimony that I heard on a podcast where a man who was full-on gay, and he heard the word of God and he was truly convicted and God changed his life. Till this day, he says, I am not attracted to a woman, but because I love the Lord God and I have fear and I want to make it to heaven, I will put down my flesh. Mm-hmm. I will probably never get married. I'll probably never be attracted to a woman. I can't say that because who knows what God has for me. But right now I live for God and I don't think he said he's straight. But he said, it is possible. Mm. If it was possible for me, it's possible for anybody that is struggling with this desire, you know, like this sin. So I just wanted to say that it is possible. It might not look like it's not beautiful. It's not easy, but it's possible. That's what it is.
But overcoming sin isn't easy for all of us. We all have our own struggles with sin. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to, you know, I can't do it on my own. It's mm-hmm. with Christ. Like this guy said, it's like it's only through Christ that he is able to do this. Because if you try, like, you know, a person who maybe is an alcoholic that turns to Jesus doesn't mean he's not going to struggle with alcohol.
It doesn't mean that he can now be a casual drinker.
Yeah. Like mm-hmm. he's about to go like to,
you can't never be to around New that Year's again.
On Las Vegas on the strip. And then, you know, Jesus saved me. Like,
it's like, no, good. Jesus saved me. Now I have to be as far away from this because this is my downfall.
Yeah, he knows it's his struggle. Yeah. And so mm-hmm. the same thing, like what people, if you struggle with homosexuality, this guy, he knows this is his struggle. He's denying himself. He like you said, he didn't say that he might end up getting married. Like I know, like there's this one person, Jackie Hill Perry, she mm-hmm. struggled with homosexual mm-hmm. thoughts too. Her story, she did end up getting married to a man and having kids, and that's her testimony. But I think even in that, like, God gives
us... What was it, Gay Girl, Good God?
Yeah, something
gay
like
that. Gay Girl, Good God.
Yeah. I haven't read it, but I do. I've heard clips about her, and she has a powerful testimony. I think, you know, we have our struggles not just for ourselves, but to use it to glorify God and to help someone else. And look at her. She's helping so many other women who are struggling. This guy is helping. She's very outspoken, yeah. Yeah, this guy is helping people and sharing his testimony. If someone's an alcoholic and they're saved and they're sharing their testimony, our struggles are not our own. And if we start making them less about ourselves and more about pointing towards God, then, you know, he will guide us. He will help us through. It's not going to be easy. This life's not easy. But it's he wants us to turn to him so we can realize in our own, going back to free will, our need for a savior.
I'd say that let's briefly cover the second question, this next question, so we can get to the best one. There's two more. Oh. Well, there's one more, and then there's a final point I think we should make. Yeah. This is the last question. It says, since homosexuality is so bad, why do I, as a gay man, have to tone down my desires when I see men every day checking out women who don't belong to them? Mm-hmm. How is that right? Seems like a double standard.
I think
it's simple to just say, biblically, both are wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The homosexual needs to understand that their homosexuality is sin in God's eyes. The luster, the coveter, the adulterer, the person that's got eyes full of adultery, that person is wrong too. Both, if they continue in their unrestrained, unrepentant pattern of sin, either prove that they don't follow or believe God, or keep themselves from ever coming to follow God in faith and repentance. Both must repent. Neither is right. Mm-hmm. Some get away with it more than others because for some reason, you're right, sometimes people focus on one more externally outward sin than the other.
Yeah.
I personally am very like perceptive, so I feel like if I ever catch any of my bros lusting, I'll give them that ugly look like, bro, did you just do a triple take? I want them to do that to me. I don't ever want to get comfortable in lust.
Yeah.
I'm a married, happily married man, And yet I struggle against lust because women don't know how to dress and my body is still sinful. I don't want to follow it. I don't want to check on it. I don't want to take pictures or mind pictures. But I struggle and fight against it. It is a constant struggle that I'll never be free from until glory. I can't wait till glory. I'm finally done with sin. I literally can't wait to glory. I don't want to leave my enemies. I want to leave sin. That's what glory is wonder to me. No more apologies. No more falling. No more struggling. No more stumbling. No more embarrassment. No more confession. Because it's done. It's finally done. My gross things that I fight every day is over. The battle is won. Yeah. So until then, I'm dressing myself in the direction that I'm supposed to be intending to be.
What I will say about that too is there's a normalization of all this stuff too.
Yeah, it's all the jokes and all the comedy. For
as far as like, you know, straight men that have a problem with lust, it's become so normal. Like,
it's not a problem. Yeah, they praise it.
You check her out. Oh, that's cool. You know what I mean?
I see it in TV shows. They have many open relationships now on TV shows. It's kind of really perverted.
And where I was going to with it too was that there's a whole cheating aspect that in this world that has become so normalized, drives me crazy. Because it's like, cool, you cheat, it's whatever, you know, move on to the next one. Absolutely deplorable.
Yeah.
You know, horrible. So stuff like that has become so normalized that when you call out a gay man, I totally get it. It's like, well, why aren't you telling him anything? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, I just got done with him.
Yeah.
He mad at me too. I'm ready for you to be mad at me. But both of y'all are going to hear the truth.
Exactly. But yeah, if any Christian is only just addressing the one, you know.
He might have a little stick in his eye for some reason. Calm down, dude. Get them all.
Get them all.
Tell them all the truth and do it in love and do it faithfully and do it gracefully. Yeah. Every single one of them.
Yeah. Do you guys have anything to add to that?
I say let's hit the gospel as the last one because I think this is already two episode thing, but the gospel, I just wanted to hit it and I'll simply touch on it and then you guys come in and add. John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him or in him shall not perish but have eternal life." This believing in Jesus is not just a mental assent to the fact that Jesus existed. You can do that through history. Look at secular history. Jesus Christ existed. His testimony is verifiable. There's enough eyewitnesses that it is provable that these things happen. Whether you believe it or not, that's different. So you can historically look back and see Jesus Christ, the biblical Jesus Christ, did live, did die, was crucified, and there was enough eyewitness testimony to his resurrection that is a verifiable fact. Because we use less eyewitnesses in court today to put someone to death than there were eyewitnesses of Jesus coming back from the dead. So we use less evidence to make life-altering decisions to people, criminals, than we have with Jesus. So he is 10,000 times more verifiable in his existence and his life and his words and his deeds and his resurrection than other things. This is a belief where you really do grab onto him with your heart and life and soul and mind in a way that no one can put into words other than to say that I believe in the one I've never seen and I follow him with that belief and my heart follows him. And the proof comes in the life that changes. So if we believe in him, we are no longer damned in the future. However, we will struggle with all sorts of things on the way. But John 3:19-21 says, "This is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." This speaks on the fact that there's an opposition to the truth. Some people will never walk into a church because they don't want to hear it. Now, they might say it's because of this and that reason, but regardless, they don't want to hear it. And the Bible says that the reason they don't come near the truth is because their life is darkness. Their life is covered in things that they're either ashamed of or they don't want to talk about or they don't feel like having to defend or they'd like to just do without anyone ever opposing them. It's considered darkness. But those that want the truth, they come and they're willing to be cleaned and pointed at and poked at. I mean, you're going to, if you want the doctor to come work on you, you're going to come and set that appointment. The doctor's going to check you, all that, even create surgery if they need to. But if someone that says, I'm not sick, I'm fine, I don't want to, they will avoid all things doctor because they don't want someone poking and jabbing and identifying and labeling and diagnosing and giving them a new lifestyle choice that they need to make in order to stay alive. Like, mm-hmm. they won't accept that, so they'll stay away from it. In a similar aspect, that's what we're going through. And then the last one, 3:36, John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son, or in other versions it says, who does not believe in the Son, will not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. The punishment of God that's coming for sin remains like a cloud over the head of everyone that does not put their trust in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It's not because they're worse than the next guy. We're not comparing ourselves to other people. We're comparing ourselves to God's law and to Jesus Christ himself. If we stand before him on judgment day, we have the law, the whole Bible, on one side, and we have Jesus Christ, fully perfect, on the other side of us. And we're saying, I'm as perfect as these two. And the Bible says, no, you're not. You have either accepted the plea bargain that Jesus lived the life you didn't, and Jesus paid the death you should have. He filled up your cup. You had one cup that was full that should have been empty, sin. You had another cup that was empty and it should have been full, righteousness. Jesus reversed it. He took out the sin and paid for it. He filled up the righteousness. He did it all. Do you trust him? And this must be before your dying day, because if you think you're going to face God on your final day and say, okay, now my bad, it's too late. Now is the day. Today is the day. If you hear his message, do not harden your hearts. This is the day to be saved.
Mm-hmm. I'll just add, what came to mind is John 1, and I was just going to read one verse, but I'm going to do 1-5. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. It's talking about, you know, the Trinity of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, capital L, light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. I always remember, and I had this as my screensaver. The NIV actually says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And I think, you know, for those who are struggling with homosexual thoughts and struggling with homosexuality, like, turn to Jesus. Like, you know, we all, whether your struggle with homosexuality or whatever sin, we all have those periods where, you know, we're just, we feel more like we're in the darkness, where things don't make sense. But for those who are Christian, we can make it through the challenges of today because we have a hope. We have a light that shines in the darkness. And I always remember in all of my hard times when I was going through anxiety and depression, I always held tight to, I have a Savior who loves me and that he's going to pull through, and I can look back at all the times and show that he's faithful, that he was faithful, that his faithfulness. And I think even in our relationship, it is evidence of his faithfulness. And so, you know, everyone has that moment when the lights are turned off and they go to their room and you think and you wonder and you question life, but turn to Christ, because he's the only one that can fill you. He's the only one that can sustain you. He is that light in the darkness. And you know, really, as I encourage my youth, like, turn to his word, seek his word, spend time in, and you'll hear him talk. It, most people don't hear the audible voice of God, but you'll hear him through his word. That's how he speaks to you. That's how he reminds you that he's with you, that he loves you. And if there's anything as you take, like, this is not us, you know, saying we hate homosexual people, we hate people who struggle this thought. No, we love you enough that we want to share the gospel, the truth. We see the Bible as his truth with you, so that you can be saved, so that you can be rejoicing in heaven, and praising him, so we can rejoice because of how faithful he is, that if he can save myself, he can save anyone. That if he can save the sinner who was on the cross next to Jesus, who did a sinful deed that was worthy of death, where Jesus was hanging and was did not do anything worthy. Like, if God can save that person, if he can save someone who's struggling with a mental health problem, with suicidal ideation, with drugs, with alcohol, with whatever the worst case sin that you can think of, God doesn't see you for your sin. He sees you as a son, as a daughter, not as who you want to be, but he's defined who you are. And so therefore we must walk in that freedom and knowing him, walk in that freedom and in the truth of his word. So my encouragement.
Well said.
Yeah. Just want to go back to what Leslie said earlier.
What did I say?
With what you hear right now, what you hear from this message, is this something that's angering you? Is this something that's breaking you? You know, what is your response to the gospel? To anybody listening here, you know, I encourage you, what you've heard today, seek it out, look at it for yourself in the word always. If this is something that you feel is breaking you, go to Christ. Go to Christ. Say, God, what do I do with this? What do I do with this desire that I have? Whatever it is, you know, not just, I know the subject is homosexuality, but whatever it is that you know God is convicting you with, take it to him and say, God, what do I do with this? I'm a broken man. Mm-hmm. I'm a broken woman. Save me, change me. I don't know. And that's all you need in a prayer. Just a good, honest, like, God,
here I am.
Save me. This is the mess that I'm in. I think every one of us in this table has had that type of prayer. You know, and just through our mutual friends and Christians that we've known, we've all come to that. And that is the best place that you can be before God. So I just want to encourage you to turn to Christ. Hear this message, turn to Christ. If you hate us, well, hey, you know, we love you. So if you hate us, reach out to us. If you don't hate us and you have questions, please ask us more questions. These are only a few questions that I really hope that we answered thoroughly. And, you know, and I really appreciate you guys being here with us. And I really appreciate you being here, Vanessa. Because this was just, I think, the way God worked it all out, it was perfect. So.
Yeah. And I'll add, like, I feel like for both of us, like, you come to, like, Leslie and I, we're no theologians. Like, these two, they hardcore study, but, like, you know, we spend time in his word. And, like, I think, really, as being a Christian, it's like, you don't have to know everything, but we know we have his word. And if I don't know something, I'm going to seek someone who does. Mm-hmm. But it's always going to be biblical. And it's not like, I don't think we're putting our feelings in it. Because I have people who are homosexual, struggle with those thoughts, who are good friends. But, you know, we love you enough to want to share the gospel with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any thoughts, Leslie?
I think I'm good.
She's
a wrap, y'all.
She's good.
All right, so let us know if there's anything we can answer for you. Feel free to post your criticisms, your rejections, your concerns, questions, anything like that, and we'll be happy to make another episode. Yeah. So join us next on Milk and Me Podcast. God bless you guys. Because I be worried about your soul. Why you still be down and you got a soul? Like you need to see to believe these things, but you believe things that you've never seen. Like feelings and hopes and dreams, the future, emotions, and gravity. And sadly, everything you're rejecting makes this whole life a tragedy. And I got something to say, I got something.